Welcome to episode 238 of The Lab. I'm Brad Barton.
I'm Phil Barton.
On the show page, which you can find by visiting labwithbrad.com, are some links about dogs. That's it.
Dogs.
I know. I didn't stop with the labwithbrad.com. I changed something.
Oh.
We're going to get angry letters.
I'll send you one. You send me one.
Yeah, there we go. How do you feel about the letter H? That's pretty angry. Angry. I'm sorry. Talking about dogs, I want to say that right off because we failed to mention it at all on Monday. Before I forget.
Okay.
Because I probably will.
Mm-hmm.
There's no show next week.
Oh.
It's your birthday week.
Happy mm-hmm. birthday to...
No singing.
Oh, no. I just realized.
Yeah, but the show will come back. We'll be back on October 17th.
Okay, cool.
You want to go first?
Okay, sure.
Tell me all about Humberto.
Humberto. So, windy in the east. So let me skip Humberto, especially since... That one went away, apparently.
He did?
Yeah. Okay, we'll actually start in the West. Atlantic, we have Lorenzo. I don't know where Humberto went, but yeah, Lorenzo's hanging out middle of the Atlantic, just trucking along. It made Category 5 at one point, and now it's dropped down, but I don't know, it's just hanging out there.
It's like the bigger the number, the more
windy
you're. Yeah. So, like, Category 5 hurricane is business.
Yeah, it's a big deal. I don't even think there is a Category 6. They just gave up. They're like, wow, that's windy. But in the east, we also have a typhoon, M-I-T-A-G. Mitag?
M-I-T-A-G?
M-I-T-A-G. Mitag.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, anyways, it's hugged up right next to China. Yeah, they're probably not having a good time of things. I don't...
How is that the east?
East? Eastern hemisphere?
Oh, okay, okay. It's west of us, though.
Yes.
Sort of.
It's confusing. Pacific and all.
I mean, I suppose we could loop all the way around.
There's an international dateline. I don't know. I don't know where they...
Directions. Is that it for...
No. Speaking of west of Chile, that doesn't say much, does it?
That's a
long
the
country.
Entire South Pacific somewhere.
But it's just west of Chile. I'm just going to stick with it.
Okay, just west of Chile. Okay. Yeah,
there was a 6.8, and with her hurricanes, with earthquakes of that size, per usual, it is actually one of a cluster of fairly large.
These are offshore?
Yeah.
Huh. I wonder if they got any tsunamis.
I didn't see any. Usually it makes the news when I look up the earthquake to make sure it's there.
Is there ever like a baby tsunami or one that happens in an unpopulated place? Like the only place you know about it is this website. It's like nobody bothered putting it on the news or anything because nobody lives there. Nobody cares.
It has to have happened, but yeah, I don't know.
Not that you've noticed. Okay.
I'm not even looking for her. Now I got to watch the water too. What's going on?
Air, water. All we got to do is put you on fire watch and we got all four. Elements covered.
Goodness.
I want to talk about brains.
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 We're
back to brains. We're still on brains. So one thing I didn't make clear is like some of the theories around what correlates with intelligence. Doesn't necessarily cause, but most smart critters have a fairly long lifespan.
Okay.
They usually live in social groups. They usually... have a long childhood.
Okay.
With delayed sexual maturity.
Mm-hmm.
And, I like finding counter examples, like the raccoon with its short lifespan and short childhood.
Mm-hmm.
Another theory is that as far as, like, you get together, you're in a little group of animals, that it's harder to be a predator cognitively than it is to be prey.
That makes sense, because you have to hunt, you know, especially if you have to cooperate to hunt.
Right. So, I was looking at this paper. They did a study. They were looking at the order Carnivora.
Okay.
Including the caniforms, dog-like, and feliforms, cat-like.
Hey, okay.
And they found that at least with the larger ones, they actually have fewer neurons than expected for a critter of that size, and sometimes even fewer neurons than the critters they're hunting.
Well, how hard is it to catch a wildebeest?
That's a somewhat anomalous result, given the, what are we, the theory,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It was like a lion had about as many neurons, actually a little bit fewer than the golden retriever they looked at.
Okay. That's just funny to me. People love their cats, you know.
Also, another thing is that it's been assumed that if an animal is domesticated, its brain size may change.
Okay.
For
the better?
It seems like not. Well, I would expect it to depend upon how it's domesticated. Like, I'd expect, what am I looking for? Developmental issues with something like, I don't know, a chicken.
We're going to make as many of these things as possible.
You know, they're kept in hutches. All of the problems a chicken ever had are solved.
You just stay here. You be warm and comfortable until we kill you.
But then we got a working animal like a dog,
uh-huh.
Who may have been bred for relative intelligence. Understanding, learning and understanding commands quickly, responding to them well,
mm-hmm.
Handling unexpected issues, you know, smarter dogs.
Yeah.
But they detected no real difference, brain size wise or neuron count wise, about what you'd expect for that size animal.
So, yeah.
So there's another possibility here,
mm-hmm.
that they haven't really talked about, is that maybe it's not all neurons.
What, glial cells?
Yeah, we talked about those ages and ages ago.
Yeah, inject them into mice.
Yeah, they actually have done experiments where they put human glial cells into rodents, and the rodents got faster at learning and could remember longer. So it's a possibility that even with fewer neurons, they may actually be a bit more clever if their glial cells are more robust.
Ah.
But we don't know. That's just a stab in the dark. The other possibility is that the theory was wrong and always has been wrong and always will be wrong. And with that, I will see you on Wednesday. Every time I look up dogs, I get different answers.
People love dogs. Everybody wants to experiment on them.
But as far as intelligence goes, it does seem to vary from one breed to another. And even from one individual to another.
Hmm.
And you gotta love the big dumb dog.
Yes, I did. Who's a dumb dog? You're a dumb dog. You don't even know I'm calling you dumb.
He's so excited about the whole situation. Mm. So, from some articles from 2017, it looks like the dogs were domesticated in a single event.
Whoa.
Somewhere between 20,000 and 40,000 years ago.
You say single event, like grand sweeping comet?
That started somewhere and then they spread out from there, as opposed to starting several places and then going back and forth. There'd been an earlier study that had concluded that they'd been domesticated in Europe and in Asia.
Oh, okay.
And then that the there was an Asian invasion that displaced some of the domesticated European dogginess.
Ah, okay.
But the later study said, okay, there's an error in this previous study. And even the guys who did that study came out and said, well, yeah, okay, we screwed up.
Wait, after it was pointed out?
Or yeah.
Oh, you're right.
Is my face red? You get the same sort of thing when you start looking at whether or not dogs are smart.
Okay.
Because on the one hand, we got this research. There's a link to a paper about it or an article where they found that dogs are about on par with a 2-year-old child.
That's not bad.
That's not bad, right. I mean, there are some birds that, on certain tasks, perform about as well as a 5 to 7-year-old child. But 2-year-old child, that's up there, right?
As far as dogs go.
As far as dogs go, this is a border collie.
Okay.
And it had a vocabulary of over 700 words. As in, you could tell it, go fetch this or that or the other, okay. And it would recognize the object and go grab said object.
Okay.
And they did hide the objects behind the couch so that the researcher couldn't see them to avoid that sort of clever haunts phenomenon where they were accidentally given, where they could accidentally cue the animal as to what the right answer is.
Okay.
My favorite example, I actually saw this. Neil deGrasse Tyson put a Darwin doll. Behind the couch,
okay,
right, and said to this extra smart dog, "Go find Darwin."
Okay.
The dog goes back and forth. He's just very confused. Never heard this word before.
Right.
But eventually grabbed the unfamiliar toy.
Right. You say, well,
I don't know this word. I don't know this thing. Here, have this thing.
Is this what you wanted? I hope so, because you're confusing.
But the same guy, the guy had finished publishing that work, talking about how smart dogs are. And then I see this other paper came out shortly thereafter.
Mm-hmm.
Dogs are dumb.
Was that the title?
No. Dogs are all sorts of headlines about how dogs aren't all that smart after all.
Okay.
Because somebody had been comparing them to a bunch of different animals. A list of animals they're comparing the dogs to include, like, dolphins and chimpanzees. Okay.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Give the dogs a chance here.
I think, dogs are supposedly really good at following human commands.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, dolphins are better than that. So is this kind of seal. And I thought, if you're just going to go down the list of everything the dog is good at and say, here's something that's better at it, then let's just say, hey, we're humans. Dogs are dumb.
What a waste of a paper.
You were bitten as a child.
You hate dogs.
Yeah. Another thing I found kind of funny is the guy talked about the list of smartest dogs.
Okay.
And he got the information from dog breeders and obedience trainers.
Okay. Yeah. Obedience.
So, like, the second smartest dog is the poodle.
Apparently.
Yeah. I don't believe it. Just because they follow instructions doesn't mean they're smart.
Okay.
Raccoons.
Right.
I think we agree that they're pretty smart. Innovative problem solvers. You betcha they don't follow instructions. They don't care about what we say at all. You're lucky if they even look at your experiments. So that lady, Susanna Herculano Hazel.
Lady.
She was a problem. We just recently learned how to count large numbers of neurons quickly.
Mm-hmm.
As in the last 10, 20 years or so.
Okay.
And you end up having to draw a lot of conclusions with short sample sizes.
Okay.
Right? They've looked at one elephant, two raccoons, I think two dogs of two different breeds.
Is it expensive to check the neurons? I mean, does it take a whole critter?
I kind of like want to give a shout out to the rest of the scientists out there. I mean, she explains her methods quite clearly in every single paper. Some other people should be replicating the studies,
mm-hmm.
doing some longitudinal and latitude, you know.
Those mean things.
Those mean things, yeah.
I know what they are on a map.
In a wide open field, right? There aren't that many people doing this, so go to it, guys.
More info, more.
But of the two dogs she looked at, one was a golden retriever.
Mm-hmm.
Had over 600 million neurons in its cerebral cortex.
Nice.
That's a good, nice number.
Mm-hmm.
The other dog, around 500 or so.
But
one of the raccoons actually had more cerebral neurons than that other dog.
Oh, okay.
But the other raccoon did not. I see there's some variability even with individuals within a species.
Well, if you live a sedentary, if you're all left fat and lazy.
That was actually one of the, some of the hypotheses they were trying to look at, is are domestic animals going to end up with larger body sizes compared to brain sizes? Because they can be fat and lazy.
Yeah.
And not really, at least from what they've been looking at. The domestic animals were the dog and the cat, and I think there was one other critter.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the dogs have brains about the size you'd expect for a mammal of that size, or a non-primate mammal of that size, to be more specific.
Mm-hmm.
And they have about as many neurons as you'd expect for a non-primate mammal of that size. So they're right on the line.
But they don't have to fight for... I've seen some lazy dogs. I'm going to lay here. Could you put the food in my mouth?
That's interesting. They've been trying to find rules, right?
Yeah.
Things that apply across many different species.
Mm-hmm.
They find that the size of the brain trends upward more slowly than the size of the body.
Okay.
Now you're getting a bigger body. You're also getting, as a mammal, you're getting a bigger body. You're also getting a bigger brain.
Okay.
But not as, the brain doesn't get as big as quickly.
Okay.
And as the brain gets bigger in size, you get more neurons and bigger neurons.
Okay. Both. Okay.
Yes. But the more neurons is relatively slow, so that the neural density drops.
All right.
You know, how many neurons per cubic, what have you.
Well, these are some nice catch-all kind of rules.
Yes, and they're great. And then there's these exceptions.
All over the place.
The dog is not one. The dog is not one at all.
That fits, actually.
But it makes me one. And then there was another paper. It was actually looking at the Nile crocodile. And without going into the details, it concluded that more neurons aren't necessary for a larger body in the brain. You don't really need a bigger brain for a bigger body.
With dinosaurs.
Yes, that's always been the counterexample. I keep this brain-to-body mass intelligence quotient they had going on, and the counterexample in my head was always like, well, what about dinosaurs? Very small brains for very large bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Suggesting that you end up, at least as a mammal, with more brain power than you need as you get larger.
Oh.
Now, if this were true, you'd expect a couple of things. You'd expect to find some species that is huge and is smarter than it needs to be.
Okay.
I submit to you the humpback whale.
Swimming around the ocean, life is easy. I'm so bored.
You'd also expect a larger dog breed to be smarter than a smaller dog breed.
Okay.
And again, there was a study done, and at least with a couple of tasks, having to do with memory and self-control, larger dogs did better.
Hey.
But they also pointed out that the understand what a human means and obey what the human says, yeah, there was no difference. You see what I mean? Obedience is not a good measure of intelligence.
Yeah, look at the infantry.
Yeah.
Sorry, gotta you had to get that jab out there.
Let me point out, my brother is actually a veteran, so.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, well, you were infantry. So how did the dog become a dog? Instead of some wild animal out there running around being a wild animal out there running around. I guess a wolf all day and every day. It's what I do. I'm a wolf.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that is lost to antiquity. But there was a Russian geneticist, Dmitry Belinov, who did an experiment with silver foxes.
Oh, okay.
Now, what he did, he was trying to study the genetics of domestication in 1950s Soviet Union, where Joseph Stalin was trying to discredit some geneticist at the time. So he lied about what he was doing and said, this is for fur.
Useful stuff going on, yeah.
So what they did is they drove, and farming foxes, that's happened. That's a thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we like their fur.
Yeah.
So he went around to these various farms, and he would purchase the foxes that didn't freak out when a human showed up.
Oh.
So if they cowered in the corner or were aggressive, not them.
Okay.
If they more or less just ignored you, perfect. We'll start with these guys.
Okay.
Then they hand reared a lot of touching and friendly and milk feeding of the pups.
Right.
And less than 10% of those, the ones that were friendliest to humans, were used to make the next generation. The rest of them became fur coats.
Okay, oh, well, it's Russia. It's cold.
Within four generations, all the fear and hostility was gone.
Uh-huh.
In fact, they actively sought human attention.
Okay.
Within 50 generations, they got a waggedy tail, shorter legs, floppy ears.
Hey.
They yip and bark and whine and lick you. Yeah.
Like a dog.
It does, doesn't it? And the funny thing is, all these other physical changes were not being bred for, not being selected for. It was solely don't be aggressive towards and or be friendly towards human beings.
Uh-huh.
And all these other changes happen.
Hey.
It's an important point about evolution. You know, whatever is actually being selected for, you never do one thing. Just one thing. Anyway, that's about all I got about dogs. So we're going to wander away, and we won't be back until, when did I say, October 17th?
Yeah, yeah.
And then we'll talk about some other smart animal, or something else entirely. Whatever we talk about. See you then.
Bye.